Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Hello, Lynn. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm so happy with this wonderful warm weather we've been having. I know it's been raining a lot, but despite that, it's just so nice not to have to worry about the thick, bulky coats and the boots and all the other crap. And maybe we can actually say spring is here. Because as you listen, tomorrow will be the first official day of
first
spring.
First day, yeah.
Yay!
I love it.
And so,
I love it.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you as we record
this. Thank you. You know, one of the Irish High Holy Days today,
I know, I was going to say it.
Yep.
And so the parade has been rescheduled for today as you're listening to this. So I'm wondering if it's going to happen. I think it will because it's going to be rain, but whatever. Rain won't kill
anybody. I don't think it's supposed to rain tremendously, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think the forecast was that it actually will hold off until early afternoon. So maybe that works to your advantage. Yeah. So do you usually go to the parade?
No. Mm-mm. I haven't gone since, you know, as we talked about last week, I always walked in it with the society, but I haven't done that in the last several years. So, no, I have not.
Yeah. I'm just curious to know, how many people really show up for the parade?
Well, I mean, there's thousands and thousands.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's packed. And the nicer obviously, the nicer the day, the better it is.
The more people, But we've had a whole bunch of new people that have come into our area over the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years. Not from here. You know, I mean, people that have moved to our area. And I'm also, I'm always curious when we do something like this as a community, celebrate an ethnic event. Not too many places do things like we do. You know, they don't have St. Patrick's Day parades, or they don't have anything that acknowledges. Yeah, I mean the Italian festival, big thing.
Right.
And I think we, those of us who grew up here, just assume that that's the kind of thing that it always is, but it isn't. And I'd love to know what people who move to this area think about this, what their reaction is to it, because it's not normal, not usual. And I think it's just wonderful opportunities for children, especially for children, to be with other children of different ethnicities and just get a sense of how the world is. You know, it's not as micromanaged as it is maybe at home or at school, but when you're around a whole bunch of people that come from all over the place, and we are becoming more and more diverse every year in this area, I just wonder how the kids respond to it, because I think it has to be a blast. So much fun to do different things and see different things.
And you do see that, because the more this area does become more diverse, the more you see these kids out there and enjoying and you know, depending on what you know, what they wear or how they symbolize their heritage, when you see them, you know, and I love to see that, because it's just like, and the little ones, I mean, it's amazing to watch how they do. I mean, I think about it, because when I see it, I think, you know, it's the lessons that they're learning to know more about someone's heritage and why they, you know, do this and why they do that, instead of things they may know that are somewhat stereotypical and may not be the real reason. So it's a good thing to for that to happen, and you know, as you said, Lynn, we're the more and more day by day, it becomes more diverse, which is all good.
And I just hope we don't lose that ethnicity that is so much a part of it. I think about, we talked a couple weeks ago about the Welsh cookies. And then there's the something, what they call Fasnacht or something, the donuts that are made on the night of Lent.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday, a Fat Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got all these other pastries and things that people make.
Well,
even the pierogies and all that kind of, you know, I mean, that's just the coolest thing. And
I just
hope that doesn't go away. Because I love it.
And for instance, just today, because we're taping on St. Patrick's Day, so today I picked up my gluten-free Irish soda bread from Mansour's, and so I went up there to meet a friend for lunch, and Carolyn had given me the bread, and I said, "Oh God, I have to taste it." So Carolyn said, "Let me." So I cut a piece of it to see. It is absolutely delicious, and I got another one for Sean, because I said, "Do you want one?" And he's like, "Yes, please." So I won't see him, and I just, while we're here, I just got a little note from his Sean's girlfriend, who I had bought them for their they moved into their New York apartment, and I got them a couple things from KitchenAid, and one of them was a stand mixer, and she always lets me know when she uses, and she just sent me today, "Happy St. Patrick's Day, I used our stand mixer today to make Irish soda bread." So that's really cool, because she's half Irish, half Italian.
Yes.
So you know, you those kind of things, that there's so many neat things that we celebrate here for those very reasons. And of course, Irish soda bread, to me, you could eat any day of the week, any time of the year, but it is very common now. It's just, it's what people do. So
yeah
I love it.
And you see the stuff about the packages that you can find of the corned beef and cabbage, you know, that's just a classic. And you just look at the stuff like that and think, "Oh, I hope that never goes away," because those are wonderful things.
Yeah, people love. My father used to love it. Of course, this Irish girl wants nothing to do with any of that, but people love it. People love it. The corned beef and cabbage, ham and cabbage. It's just, it's cool. So you're right. I hope
stuff.
It stays that way too, and I think it will, because so many people now are about, I don't know if you've noticed that, but it seems like everybody's about tradition. They want to hold on to that thought and to teach their children and their grandchildren a little bit more about it. So you just keep talking about them. That's what keeps any memory alive. So
I
agree.
Think the other thing I have concern about is that a generation ago, and I can even remember this when I was a kid, the church or the synagogue or whatever, the mosque, whatever it was more than just a place of worship. It was also part of your community, and it's where a lot of these traditions were passed on. And I was thinking about that when I noticed I went to pick up the Welsh cookies. And all of the people who were there, who were making the Welsh cookies, were at least in their 60s, if not later than that. And what occurred to me is, I just wonder if the absence of, you see churches closing constantly because they have no attendance. And I just wonder if that is the place where these traditions, especially with food, if that's where they are taught to the next generation, if there is no next generation or the church closes, do the traditions also get lost as well? And that's the part that concerns me, because I think that is the guts of it. It's the food is so much a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading an article or watching something on television. I forget when it was. But there was a story about a Jewish woman who lived in Israel with her family, and a woman who was in Palestine, who was an Arab, and her family, and the women decided that they were going to get together and share their food, their traditions with each other, as a way of acknowledging that they're giving something that's nurturing and positive rather than the bombs and the other things. And one of the things that came out of it was that these women were so delighted with the fact that they could share the food and share the table with someone who was, by all means, considered to be an enemy. And yet they created a great relationship, even though some of them couldn't even speak the other's language. Mm-hmm. But the food was the language that solidified the whole thing. And I just think it's interesting when you think about all of those ethnicities. And even when we see it here, I know that there's a Lebanese food festival that happens and a Greek food festival and all these other ones besides the Italian ones that are the big one that's in October or whenever it is.
September.
I just think that if more of that becomes the way that we learn about other ethnicities instead of the hatred and the what's passed on from generation to generation about the fear you should have of this group or that group, it would make a huge difference. And, okay, I'll get off my soapbox now. But
it's true. Well, Lynn, even I don't know if you've watched. Have you watched Stanley Tucci in Searching for Italy? Have you watched any of his? Well, I mean, that's just you. First of all, you learn so much about the history of Italy, but then you also learn how different regions and why they make certain things and why it's more abundant there than another part in Italy due to the climate, due to anything else.
Yeah.
It's wonderful if you get a chance. Watch some of them, and he has some new episodes coming up. It's amazing to see and to learn about all of the things, like the Jewish population, which was in Italy, which I never knew that. I mean, you just learn all these things that are so, it's not just about the food, but how the food is incorporated and brings everyone together, like you're saying, to sit at a table and break bread and kind of let your other things, you know, forgiveness and understanding and sit and break bread together. And it's to that point.
And what is that
exactly
on?
To that,
is that
point.
On Netflix?
I don't know if it's CNN or I don't know.
Stanley Tucci. All right. Well, look it up.
I really don't remember. I just love it. Watch it all the time. Mm-hmm. And we watched every one of them now. He has a couple new ones coming up. So,
okay.
You know, it's a good thing. So anyway, we guess we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show.
Hi, this is Nancy Kamen from WILK's Morning News, and I know Laurie Cadden. A lot of people know Laurie Cadden. And more importantly, Laurie Cadden knows a lot of people. Laurie Cadden Enterprises specializes in fundraising, public relations, and special events. Laurie Caton can take your business or organization to the next level. This isn't something that you learn about in a book. Heck, it can't even be taught. Laurie Caton lives it. She knows how to work a crowd, open doors, and build and nurture relationships. With Laurie Caton Enterprises, you get, ta-da, Laurie Caton and her 20-plus years of experience. Call Laurie today at 357-8399, 357-8399, or email Laurie, Laurie, at lauriecadden.com, lauriecadden.com. Laurie Caton Enterprises, because it is who you know.
I'm Dr. Nicole DeNova. Since VREC opened its doors in 2010, we've treated over 30,000 patients, including the puppy whose curiosity led him to a porcupine and the police canine who was just doing his job. VREC is located at 318 Northern Boulevard in Clark Summit and is open 24/7 for your pet peace of mind. To learn more about us, visit VRECPA.com or call 570-587-7777.
ERA, Exceptional Real Estate Agents. When you want to have the best of the best selling your home, you want ERA One Source Realty. With offices all over northeastern Pennsylvania, ERA One Source Realty will give you the personalized service you'd expect from a professional real estate company. They have experienced realtors that have years of experience, which gives you, the home seller, an incredible advantage. They will offer suggestions to make your house sell faster. They will tell you what others will be looking for. They know how to present your home and sell its features, giving you the greatest chance to have your house sell fast. And ERA OneSource Realty offers an industry-exclusive guarantee. If ERA doesn't sell your house, ERA will buy it. Yes, if they don't sell your house, ERA will buy it. That's a peace of mind. That's a guarantee worth its weight in gold. Call ERA OneSource Realty today and find out how you can have your house marketed by one of the top-rated companies in northeastern Pennsylvania. Call 877-587-SELL or on the web at ERA1.com. ERA One Source Realty, always there for you.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Hi, we're back. My name is Lynn Evans, and I am the, I'm managing director and certified financial planner with Women of Substance, LLC. That's a financial planning firm that's devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse. And that's available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and any place you get podcasts.
And I'm Laurie Caton, the owner of Laurie Caton Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business.
And we're going to take a quiz today.
Just tell me what it's about.
Oh, come on. You know it's about money. But this is really, no, but it's easy. It's not, there's no hard, difficult things.
Okay.
So there's 22 questions. We will go through this.
Yo!
And, yeah, but it's not bad. I mean, we'll go. Which historical woman will be the face of the $20 bill? Marilyn Monroe, Harriet Tubman, or Susan B. Anthony?
B.
Harriet Tubman. Okay. That's correct, by the way. What is another word for stock? Mortgage, shares, livestock.
B.
Right. What is the unit of currency of the United Kingdom? Dollar, euro, or pound?
C.
Pound. Correct. The decrease in value of a company's assets over time is called depreciation, bankruptcy, or liability.
A.
Right. APR stands for any possible rate, annual percentage rate, or all profit revenue.
B.
Correct. Banker. Okay. Blank is money paid at a particular rate for the use of money lent. Interest, asset, equity.
Say that. I didn't hear the first. Say the first part.
Blank, yeah. Blank is money paid at a particular rate for the use of money lent.
Okay. Okay.
Interest, asset, equity.
A.
Right. Which of the following refers to a retirement savings plan? 401k, W-2, W-4.
A.
Right. These aren't hard. Okay. Profit is blank. All incoming money, the amount gained just from interest, or financial gain?
Financial gain.
Yes. In which country
and
would
could,
you use...
Could you add another one that just says D, B, or A, B, C, D, good? Anyway, go ahead. Profit is D, good.
Good.
Go ahead, then.
In which country would you use the currency yen? Y-E-N.
Yeah.
China, Thailand, or Japan?
God, I think it's A.
It's what?
Is it
China,
A?
Thailand? No. China, Thailand, or Japan?
Oh, I'm sorry. So isn't it China?
No. Japan.
It's Japan. I know it. See, yeah. I never know. I can't get it straight. Go ahead.
Okay. What is collateral?
That's what I knew it. Damn. What?
What is collateral? A, income from investments. B, a recurring expense. Or C, a piece of property that a creditor may seize if you don't repay a loan.
C.
Right. Okay. Which of the following is not a major American bank? Citibank, Bank of America, or, ready for this one, Fells Wargo.
C.
Correct. Oh, wait a minute. I was wrong. Oh, my God. That's too funny. Okay. All right. What is the What is the name of the department that produces and circulates money? The United States Center for Bills and Coins, the United States Mint, the United States Moneymaker.
B.
Correct. Which of the following best describes Bitcoin? Virtual currency, hard money, or fiat currency?
A.
Right. The financial crime of stealing money from the company that employs you is called embezzlement, money laundering, insider trading. Correct, embezzlement.
A.
Which of these currencies is most valuable? One British pound, one Mexican peso, or one American dollar?
I do not understand this, but I'll just say, which is the more, did you say?
Which is the most valuable?
Oh, I have no idea. So I'm just going to go with C.
Yeah, and I thought the same thing, but the answer is actually A. The
really?
British pound.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't
know why. Doesn't explain why. But anyway, okay. I guess probably because there could be something backing it.
Because what I didn't understand.
We have nothing.
Yeah, but what I didn't get by the term valuable means compared to each other or valuable in the world of the in the eyes of the world. That's why I went with American. But anyway, go ahead.
Which combination of coins would you use to buy an 85-cent candy bar? Okay. 3/4 and 1 dime.
A.
That's it. I mean, that's the rest of it's stupid. But what is the unit of currency of Germany? The euro, the pound, or the dollar?
God, euro.
You're right.
Okay.
Who appears on the $1 coin? Ulysses S. Grant, Susan B. Anthony, or John F. Kennedy?
B.
You're right. Which metal gives U.S. pennies their color? Copper, gold, or silver?
A.
Mm-hmm. Which motto appears about the amount on the face of a dollar bill? Repeat that again. Which motto?
No, I know it.
Okay.
I know the answer.
In God we trust, America the free, or we the people?
A.
Yes. How many millions are in a billion with a B. 1,000, 10, or 100?
1,000.
Right. And what is a good credit score? 700 plus, 100 to 200, or 10?
700 plus, but I wouldn't say that's
any...
just good. Anyway,
go ahead. Yes. Yes. Okay, so you have a 91% rate on that. We went through the whole
thing.
Well,
I only got one wrong, but beside that, what is the currency for China?
The yuan. H-U-A-N.
All right. Okay.
So, you did really well.
Of course.
Well.
Your average good-looking blonde. You know what I mean?
Speaking of that, here's the next question. I started looking at this and said, are you kidding me? There's a website called Quora, as opposed to Quorum, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, do women prefer a man with money or looks?
Yeah, okay.
I don't even want to ask you that question, but
is there a C both?
No. But what's interesting is a lot of these questions, these comments from people, the ones from the men were obviously very different from the women. So this guy.
Well, can I just go on the record by saying they're missing one very important.
No, you cannot go on record with anything other than those two choices.
Lynn. No, brains.
What?
Brains. This goes back to what I said. Yeah, don't worry about that. This goes back to the Warren Buffett conversation last week. It's all,
right.
to me, it's the brain that's the most appealing and sexy in a guy, is your smarts.
Okay.
But anyway,
well,
go ahead.
The claim here is that women, meaning the majority of women, appreciate a good-looking man. Most women want a tall, handsome, athletic-looking guy with a movie star face. However, mm-hmm. the visual aspect is a very small part of what attracts women to men in general. Although most women value a good-looking man, the reality is that younger women appreciate financial stability more than looks. And then this guy says, just look at the number of young women who seek out older, more established males. Older men with money are extremely attractive, even if they're ugly on the outside. Then they show a picture. Just take a look at Donald Trump's wife, Melania. Donald is 26 years older than her. She is very attractive and actually used to be a supermodel. Do you think for one second that she would be with him if he were an average guy working for an insurance agency?
Wait, if he were a guy working for an insurance company and he looked like he does now, make sure that's all thrown in. No, the answer would be flat out no. That would never happen.
No, exactly.
Right.
Then they said, young women are looking for someone who can provide for the family. We women appreciate personality and intelligence over physical beauty. At least that's my opinion. Men, on the other hand, are completely obsessed with good looks, beauty, a great body, large breasts, long legs, silky hair, and a supermodel face. Men have openly said that if he is not physically attracted to a random female, he probably won't approach her. Men are very visual. They seek out the most beautiful, most attractive women they can find. Even regular average men think they will end up with a supermodel girlfriend. To most men, good looks mean everything. They could care less if she is educated, intelligent, has skills, or likes to read. All he cares about is, what does she look like naked?
Now, see, I don't agree with that. I don't think men think that way all the time. I think men are and can be, just like women, shallow in the field of what do you look like. But I think men are far less critical
of women than women are of themselves.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that before, and I agree with
and
you.
And so, therefore, if that's the case, then it can't be, the other can't be true.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But,
so I think, I mean, it could be
you
just...
You can't just make a blanket statement. Nobody can about
women or men.
But, you know, I just think this is crazy. I mean, you and I know many women who maybe are not that attractive but have extremely handsome husbands. And so that kind of belies the whole thing. But I think that the reverse is more true. I mean, look at Brady and Gisele Bündchen. I mean, there's a supermodel. There is exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah,
and
but
a lot
he's
of men,
very handsome.
Well, yeah, we're not going to.
I mean, he's very. I know you don't like him, but he's very handsome. And the other thing is, you know what my motto was? I won't use one word, but you know what I say. I tell everybody this: don't marry, date, or something else of anyone prettier than yourself.
And that's a great way for us to stop this recording.
There you go. So we're going to be right back because we have a lovely new guest with VREC, and she is a nurse with by the name of Cheryl McDonald Sweet, and she'll be right up as our guest expert today for Veterinary Referral and Emergency Center. You're listening to Laurie and Lynn Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Lynn S. Evans, CFP, co-host of The Laurie and Lynn Show. I am the managing director of a new business, Women of Substance, LLC, a financial planning firm dedicated to the specific financial needs of baby boomer women. I help them navigate through widowhood, retirement, divorce, and job loss. Send me an email at lynn@lynnsevans.com and let me know how I can help you. I'm also the host of a podcast, Power of the Purse, available on more than 30 sites, including iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We record these lively conversations with women who've been there and have great advice to give others so they don't go down the same dark holes. And we feature some experts who share some great ideas to be prepared before you have to face these transitions. And we have a whole lot of fun. Please don't let the fear of not knowing about personal finances stop you anymore. I am here to take the confusion and mystery out of money. Go to my website, lynnsevans.com, and see how we can set up a time to talk or browse around the many blogs and other free info on the site. Remember, money's not the enemy. Your ignorance of it is.
The well-established and highly respected Northeastern Pennsylvania certified public accounting firm, Michael A. Barbetti, LLC, is making changes after almost 40 years in business. The firm name has changed and is now Barbetti McHale, LLC CPA, reflecting the addition of Michael F. McHale as partner in the long-standing firm. Although the name and partnership are a significant change, the staff won't change. Their Dunmore location won't change. The way they serve clients won't change. Their work ethic won't change. And Michael Barbetti's involvement won't change. The Barbetti-McHale partnership adds Mike McHale's 3 decades of experience in corporate and not-for-profit accounting for the clients of the regional firm. Barbetti-McHale, LLC Certified Public Accountants, provides professional accounting and tax services to all types of clients, ranging from individuals and family-owned businesses to governmental agencies and non-profit organizations. Call Barbetti-McHale CPAs at their Dunmore office, and you too can make a change for the better.
Business banking at Fidelity.
We have a great relationship with Fidelity. They're like family with us. They're right next door to my business. If there's ever a problem, just one phone call, I don't even have to go to them. They come to me. It's great. I love being in the business. This was meant for me. We're very busy. I'm running every day, and I love to stay busy. So that's why I need a bank that's going to be there for me when I need them. Back in 2006, we were having a problem with our lease in our other building. We were looking for a place to go. We stumbled upon this location. It's right in the heart of downtown, right in the middle of the city, and it happened to be right next to Fidelity Bank. They went out of their way for us to get this building. It was wonderful, and it's been a great relationship ever since. I have a business line of credit with Fidelity that gives me buying power. My credit card machine runs through Fidelity, my checking account, my payroll taxes. They take care of it all for me. I bank with Fidelity. Don't you?
Member FDIC.
Here's Lori and Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show, and I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business.
And I am Lynn Evans, and I am Managing Director and Certified Financial Planner with Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, and that's available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and just about any place else you get podcasts. And our guest expert today from the Veterinary Referral and Emergency Center is Cheryl McDonald Sweet. And Cheryl was recently hired by VREC as the staff manager. But the really interesting part is she came from human medicine and is now working in the veterinary medicine field. So we're going to talk to her about the differences or the similarities. So welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're delighted that you're here. So obviously the big question is, how long have you been there, and how has the transition been for you from human medicine to veterinary medicine?
Well, I started here in November, just before Thanksgiving, actually. And, of course, one of my first concerns was, you know, how would I be received here in the veterinary medicine side of things, being I came from the human medicine side of things. And, you know, Dr. DeNova was very frank about, don't you worry about that. Wait till you see. You're going to find the parallels uncanny, I believe. And she was spot on. I think it was within 3 days. It took me at the most to sum it up as, I feel like I'm working in a pediatric ER. The patients come in, they can't talk, you know, their parents are frantic. You have to rely on good old-fashioned assessment skills, diagnostics, pull it all together and do the best possible treatment plan you can for that patient to get them back to optimum speed. My father, I was telling Lynn earlier, my father used to tease me and say, if I get sick, you take me to the vet. That horse can't talk, and he always fixes them. So here I am, and it has been, it is exactly as she said, the parallels are tremendous. You know, same medicine, same approaches.
How do you find the staff responding to the fact that you are from a different world than they are?
Well, what I found is they don't find it to be a completely different world. And we actually bounce a whole lot of ideas off of each other. What I have come to realize is a lot of the regulatory stuff that goes on the human side of medicine in hospitals and physicians' offices and such, we're held to those same type of regulatory obligations. And so, you know, recently we discovered a question came up about something, you know, with radiation safety, some further education. And we find that we can actually serve as good resources to each other for, oh, let's go to this resource because that's what we used here. And sure enough, we can find stuff for veterinary medicine there too. So it's really worked out very well. It's a complementary type of relationship.
Are your continuing education, for lack of a better term, your continuing education requirements the same?
They're similar, depending on the level. For example, on the human side, I'm a nurse. I also hold some board certifications. To maintain those certifications and to maintain my nursing license, there's a certain number of Con Ed hours that are required. Unlike maybe a nurse aide or someone like that doesn't have board certification, there are still certain numbers of Con Ed hours required. Here it's very similar. It depends on, are they a certified technician? Are they an assistant? That sort of thing. So by and large, it has to do with A, their certifications, not unlike the human side, and B, any regulatory requirements. In this case, it had to do with radiation safety and making sure everybody stays up to speed on that, which is very similar to the human side.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, I have a question for you. How did you, what gave you the impetus, or why, if you decided, how did that thought process come into being when you knew this was something that was available? How did you, when did that first thought say, you know, I think maybe this would be interesting, I should give it a shot. Where did that come from?
It came from me considering maybe it's time for me to retire. And then I kept thinking, no, I still have something I want to do. And I live in the Clark Summit area, and I happened to be driving by, and I saw the sign that they were looking, you know, we still have the sign that's constantly flashing our needs and advertising for the positions that are available. So I thought, I'm going to go ahead and submit my CV and see what happens. And after coming down, now I've had pets that I had to bring here before and always had a wonderful experience. So that said, I thought, I know the place, I just don't know the people. So came in for the interview and I was sold. I was sold the minute we all sat down and started chatting and comparing notes about, just as we just spoke about, the human side and the veterinary side and the very close parallels. And from then on, it was pretty much a done deal. I decided, okay, not retire just yet. Still have more to give.
That's correct. And we talk about this all the time on our show. Lynn does mostly, and I just chime in with my little funny things to say about it. But Lynn talks very much so about second acts and retirement and people who think they want to retire and then they retire and they don't think it's the right thing. They wish they didn't. And what else can they do? So, and how valuable that type of person is to any industry is that knowledge and everything that you've gleaned through the years that you can now bring to somebody else and get a different spin. And maybe it doesn't feel like you're as, like your thought of, I don't want to do this anymore, it takes on a whole new life. And that seems like that's what's happening for you here.
Absolutely. I mean, I had discovered that it was coming time that I really was not, I didn't have the stamina to be at the bedside nursing so much anymore. And that's what was, you know, prompting me to say, well, maybe it's time to hit the retire button. Here, it's a different set of tools that I'm using. But ironically, we have also hired a few other people who were similarly in the position I found myself. You know, do I retire? Don't I? And they have one gal we've hired as one of our client service representatives doing a phenomenal job. And here she was thinking about retiring. So you're right. It is these skill sets that you acquire over the years, and maybe you weren't using them altogether in the job you were formerly in, but now you're reinventing them.
And I say, and I might, it's maybe I say it just because I am one, but I think the work ethic that the baby boomer whole grouping, I'm going to lump everyone in there, just say the boomers, the work ethic that they bring is unlike before because of technology, and it's not like after, that the technology and the need to not be loyal or not, you know, I can bounce from this job to that job and all these other Generation X and millennials and all these other people, and no offense to any of them, I've raised two millennials myself, but the point I'm getting at is you can definitely see the difference in the work ethic of how we did it. And I say that because we came from parents who did not have what we have today, wanted more for us, and therefore we wanted. And then the infusion of the technology of all of the things that are now available, and we're just sort of, you know, perking up and bubbling up all these years when we were in that, in the throes of our careers. And here we are, and I just see the work, how people work differently as a boomer versus other people in by and large.
Absolutely. And one of the other pieces to that is, you know, a case in point here, there's a lot of young folks. I won't generalize which generation they're from. But I put myself out there right up front, and I say, now remember, you're talking to the poster child for computer illiteracy. So I need your help there. And then you can teach me that, and then what can I teach you? And that's the way it has to work. One hand has to wash the other.
It is.
It's all about routine.
Right, because we're not afraid, as you just said, because I'm right next to you on the computer illiteracy side. So if we can ask for help, and believe me, that skill is unbelievable that these kids, babies, know how to use cell phones and computers and iPads and everything. I mean, it's amazing. So then look to us for the things that we're good at doing and have gotten us through and give it and we can learn from us. And that's what this is, I think, goes back to, is that how the value you bring to an organization because of what you can still do and teach, to incorporate those things to these technology-driven younger folks who just have the edge when it comes to that. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
And then you have another, all of these other people who are there, Cheryl, one other person in particular who hopefully he's going to join us next week, but is he sort of in the same boat that you are with the feeling of the human side? It's pretty much a good blend?
Absolutely. And actually, I'll have to admit up front, full disclosure, he and I have worked together before. We were at Lackawanna College also as the, I was the director for the paramedic program. He was the director for the entire EMS Academy. And we used to send our paramedics here to VREC, as we used to say to them, you're going for your mouth to snout training. Be professional. And,
yeah.
I mean, we had that relationship with them. So when we were looking for an HR director, it was a no-brainer for me because he has had that experience in the human medicine side of things. And so, yes, absolutely. You'll probably hear the same. You'll hear similar commentary from him, I'm sure.
Well, there we go. Well, Cheryl, it's been a delight talking to you. Before we let you go, we have to admit that Cheryl's cousin, Tommy McDonald, was one of my first boyfriends, and I still love him to this day. So we're just full disclosure on this. But Cheryl, tell everyone how they can get in touch with you if they're looking for a position or they need the services of VREC, how they can do that.
Very simple. 570-587-7777.
There you go.
All those lucky sevens.
And a website?
It's all those lucky sevens, I said.
No, yep. The website. Isn't that VREC?
Oh, and the website? Yes.com.
Okay.
Well, it's easier to pick up the phone. So remember, 570-587-7777. And you're right. We're taping this on St. Patrick's Day, so it's a lucky day for the Irish and lucky day for all those phone numbers with sevens in there. So good thing. So, Cheryl, thank you for joining us. We hope you come back soon, and good luck with everything there. And we will see everybody else next week, or at least you'll hear us next week. So have a good weekend. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!